The Magic Island is a very real place to Mrs. Gregory and her little party of loyal friends. The finding of her daughter Joan on the island should have brought the story of the 14-year search to a happy ending, but such is far from true. Jerry and Joan, with Mrs. Gregory and the captain, found it comparatively easy to escape from the island. Now their position is much more difficult. 400 feet below the surface of the water, 200 feet below the spot where the artificial island is hidden in a volcanic crater, the mysterious city of Euclidea, a complete community capable of sustaining life indefinitely, holds our friends tightly in its grip. And escape seems far away.
Come, Mother. We may as well return to our quarters.
Sure, Mrs. Gregory. Come on.
I hate to leave Tex without knowing just where he is.
Well, we couldn't help him any if we did know.
I suppose you're right, Jerry.
He is indeed, Mother.
Very well, Joan, dear. I'll wait quietly for news of the captain. But why return to our quarters? We may as well continue our inspection tour of this underwater city and learn all we can about it.
It is time for our lunch.
Oh, boy. Grub.
Grub?
Yeah, you know, grub, chow, victuals, eats, foods.
Jerry Hall, if you would only say what you mean.
Oh, I did. You just don't understand English.
Do you understand it?
Do I?
Please, why... Joan and Jerry, don't start another of your arguments now.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Gregory. Come on, let's go to lunch.
I don't feel that I care for anything.
Oh, sure you do. You've got to eat something, whether you feel like it or not.
Yes, Mother. It is foolish to deprive yourself of the nourishment your body needs merely to give your mental depression full sway.
Hey, listen.
It is indeed time for our lunch, and we must hurry to eat it as we will be given only a limited time.
Very well, Joan. Are you sure which way we go?
Oh, that's easy. We take that elevator right over there. One nice thing about this underwater city, they don't hide things as much as they did up in the island.
That is true, Jerry. We will be able to find our quarters at any time.
It's very obvious that the Euclideans don't feel it necessary to take any further precautions against our escaping. They know we can't escape.
Oh, gee, Mrs. Gregory. Quit acting so down and out. We're not licked yet.
Perhaps you don't realize when you're licked, Jerry, but I feel rather thoroughly beaten.
We are in no danger, Mother, and we have unlimited time in which to plan. There is still hope.
Oh, sure there is. Here's the elevator. I know it's the right one because the girl submarine commander showed it to me.
We must go quickly or the luncheon will be removed.
Yeah. We have to eat just when these fellows want you to or they take it away from you. Now hang on tight, Mrs. Gregory. The commander said this elevator was mighty fast.
If she thought it fast enough to warrant her warning, it would probably be terrifying.
There are a number of handles which we may grip with our hands.
Yeah, and those handles look pretty shiny, like somebody's been hanging on plenty. Well, get set. Here we go.
Can you operate this, Jerry?
Well, I can try. Well, I guess I can run it all right.
Well, at least we've been shot upward some distance in almost no time.
I think this will be where we leave the elevator.
Well, no blame. Well, it's where I leave it. That was too fast for me.
We are on the proper level. The section containing our quarters is just ahead.
You're a good guesser, Jerry.
Oh, I must be. I sure didn't feel any too sure when that elevator would land as though.
We are now walking on the noiseless steel. The corridor outside our quarters is noiseless. I think we are correct.
Yes. That should be the door right over there.
Hey, wait a minute. Sounds like another elevator coming.
Well, well, well.
Oh, Tex, I'm so glad to see you.
Did you come up in one of those rocket elevators?
I sure did. And when those things take you places, you really get there.
Where have you been?
Talking to G-47. I'll tell you all about it as we eat. That lunch signal gives only so much time. Isn't that right, Joan?
That is correct, Captain. We will have only a few hundred seconds in which to enjoy our luncheon.
Well, maybe we can eat it in a few hundred seconds, but we sure can't enjoy it much.
This is our door, isn't it?
I think so.
We're home.
Home. Oh, Jerry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What's the matter?
Mother has been very depressed, and Jerry and I have had no success in attempting to improve her frame of mind.
Oh, forget it, Pat. Now let's see what these Euclidean wizards have brought us for lunch.
Oh, boy. Fresh cantaloupe. Well, go ahead, Joan.
Go ahead?
Oh, make your wisecrack. Dig up some fancy name that none of us ever heard of for cantaloupe.
It is not necessary to correct you at this time. Cantaloupe is the proper designation for this form of muskmelon, though your pronunciation of the name leaves something to be desired.
Okay, what is it?
Cantaloupe, the name being derived from the castle in Europe where this melon was first grown, Cantaloupe, cattle.
Well, cantaloupe, cantaloupe. It's swell.
Indeed it is, Jerry. Ice cold and perfectly ripened.
I have to hand it to these Euclidean gardeners. They make food taste better than we can. They grow it under artificial light.
Are you sure this melon was grown here, Tex?
Positive. G-47 told me that everything eaten in Euclidea was of their own production.
It sure couldn't be any better if it had grown under real sunlight.
I think you were all making a mistake when you refer to the sunlight of this underwater city as artificial.
How can we be mistaken, Joan? We're under the ocean. This light doesn't come down through the water. We know it's manufactured here. Therefore, it's artificial. Surely there's no argument as to that.
Afraid not, Joan. It just isn't sunlight. Not real sunlight.
It does the work all right, though.
Precisely. It performs all the functions of sunlight. Therefore, it is sunlight. The Euclidean light covers a far larger spectrum than sunlight, particularly in the ultraviolet wavelength. And when properly controlled by quartz filters, the amount of health-giving ultraviolet light may be accurately regulated and not depend on the season of the year, the altitude, condition of the atmosphere, relation of the sun to the zenith, and countless other factors which prevent people in your world receiving a constant amount of the beneficial shorter waves.
All right, Joan, I give up. These Euclideans certainly look healthy enough, even if they do live under the sea. And if they can do everything with artificial light that we can do with the sun, there's plenty of room for argument over the use of the word artificial.
There's nothing artificial about this salad, either. The celery is so crisp it sounds like a windstorm when I bite it.
No, I haven't heard it. Bite harder.
Oh, I think I'm making enough noise, Jerry.
Now, that's better, Pat. That laugh did you good.
Indeed it did, Mother. You must not allow yourself to become so sad and worried.
I'll try to remember that, Joan. After all, we're all in the same predicament, and if the rest of you can be cheerful about it, there's no reason why I shouldn't.
Now you're talking. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I don't see how anybody could be anything but cheerful with a meal like this in front of them.
I would say there was but little of the meal left in front of us at this time.
That's right, Joan. We've certainly eaten as if we never expected to get another meal.
Well, looks like we didn't eat this one any too fast, either.
Why, the table is sinking through the floor.
It is, indeed. We were late in arriving for our lunch.
So that's where all this food comes from. I thought of noiseless servants jumping in and out with huge trays while we weren't watching.
This thing works just like a dumbwaiter.
It seems to. I suppose there is a passageway below this section where food is delivered to the living quarters from the kitchen.
Well, I'll bet you're right, but I'll miss my guess if they call them anything as common as kitchens here.
You may be sure they do not. On Euclidea, the chambers where the food is prepared are referred to as the dietary laboratories.
Uh-huh. I knew it.
Well, these scientists just can't resist dressing everything up in technical terms, can they?
They do seem to lean that way. But if all our meals are as appetizing as that one was, I'm not at all interested in what they call their kitchens.
Me too. I mean, me neither. Oh, no, neither am I. Oh, something.
Oh, that floor section nearly caught my foot.
I was watching for it. I knew they wouldn't leave a hole where that table went down. Well, now that we've had our lunch in 200 seconds or whatever it was, let's talk about what we've accomplished so far.
Well, we know that the volcano eruption that the scientists put on scared away that fleet of ships Johnson had come down here to try and rescue us.
And we know that with them went our last hope of rescue.
No doubt of that. We'll never be allowed to reach any means of communication here. But there's always the chance of escape.
I agree with you, Captain. Escape from this city below the sea would seem difficult and may prove an impossibility. But until that is proven, I feel that we should hope and continue to learn all we may about the city.
Good girl, John.
That's the spirit. And, Pat, I want you to get in line with the rest of us. We'll get out of this place if it takes a year or 10 years.
I'll do my part, Tex. And for myself, I'm not so greatly worried. I've spent over 14 years looking for Joan, and now that I've found her, I can be fairly content anywhere with her and with you, Tex. But it's Jerry I'm so worried about.
Oh, gee, I'm all right. Why worry about me? Well, I'm a swell time here, and I can stand anything the rest of you can.
Oh, it isn't that, Jerry. Your father will be terribly distressed over your absence. If only we could get word to him that we're alive and well. The poor man must be nearly out of his mind.
Yeah, I guess it is sort of rough on Dad.
We will advise your father the instant we are allowed to operate any means of communication.
We sure will. Now, in the meantime, let's plan and keep thinking.
Did you learn anything of value to us in talking to G-47?
Plenty, but I haven't figured out how we can use it.
Oh, what was that, Captain?
Well, the one thing I was most worried about, as far as our escape is concerned, was the fact that the island is submerged and is going to stay that way for an indefinite period. At least a few months, until the world has forgotten us completely and given us up for lost. I thought all the submarines, planes, radios, and everything we might use for an escape were in the island. But they're not.
They're not?
They're not.
Oh, that is splendid, Captain Bradford. There are means to escape from this city where we may have access to them?
The means are here, though our having access to them may be something else.
Well, I'll bet it will be. Don't forget we stole one of their submarines the last time we escaped. And when they got it back, after Joan blew it up with those bombs in the Catalina Channel, well, it wasn't anything but a bunch of junk.
And G-47 will be very bitter over the loss of his submarine.
Naturally. They're expensive beyond belief and difficult to construct.
I thought of all those reasons for the old boy to be mad at us, and he surprised me plenty when he thanked me for spoiling his submarine.
He did what?
G-47 thanked you for almost destroying that beautiful boat?
He did, and he meant it.
But I do not understand that, Captain Bradford. G-47 cared more for those submarines than anything on Euclidea.
Right, and that's why he was grateful to us. We showed him that his idol had feet of clay. The submarines weren't as perfect as he thought, or we wouldn't have been able to render that one helpless so easily. He thinks we've done him a big favor in showing up the weakness in that boat, and he's asked me to help him design another, eliminating the faults we found in that one.
Tex, it's almost unbelievable. G-47 has asked you to help him on a new submarine.
He has?
Oh, boy! There's your chance to begin to plan for our escape.
And more than that, I'm to be allowed to see the rocket ships.
They actually have rocket ships?
I told you of the rocket-propelled airship.
Better than that, Joan. They have rocket ships built like submarines which will operate under the water, on the water or in the air. And those rocket ships are somewhere in this underwater city. Somewhere that we'll finally locate. And when we do...
When we do, we'll know how to escape from Euclidea.